Dear visitor, we welcome you to the Church of the Holy Souls in Purgatory. This guide was created by the Jonathan Livingston Association, ODV, with the patronage of the municipality of Karini, thanks to the funds of the National Recovery and Resilience Plan of the Ministry of Culture, included in Mission 1, Digitization, Innovation, Competitiveness, Culture, and Tourism, and Component 3, Tourism and Culture 4.0. We are honored that you have chosen to visit this church. We will accompany you inside and tell you its story. Choose your language and enjoy this exceptional experience. The Church of St. Julian, commonly known as the Church of the Holy Souls in Purgatory, referring to the first building from the 14th century that no longer exists, is located within the city walls near the Castle of Karini. The Church of Purgatory was an archiepiscopal see and matrix until the 16th century. It was built between the end of the 13th century and the beginning of the 14th century. In 1578, the Society of the Name of Jesus, or the Jesuits, settled in the church, and later, in 1597, the Confraternity of the Holy Souls of Purgatory, from which it takes its title. The church was restored in 1797 on the occasion of a pastoral visit by Monsignor Della Torre, who granted Karini the perpetual maintenance of the first parish, then later closed in 1991 to safeguard its safety. Thanks to two restorations, the first in 2001 and the second in 2008, today the sacred building has returned to its former glory. Dear visitor, we now invite you inside the church. The interior of the Purgatory Church is richly decorated. The white stuccos adorning the walls and ceilings blend harmoniously with the black and white marble floor, creating a solemn yet cozy ambience. The church houses six chapels and seven altars, a mix of marble and woodworks that demonstrate the excellent craftsmanship of local master sculptors and carvers. Looking to the left, we find the first chapel. In the center, above a finely decorated wooden altar, there is a canvas attributed to the artist Giovanni Patricolo depicting the Virgin Mary handing the child to Saint Cajetano. In this canvas, the scene depicts the Virgin Mary, dressed in a broad blue mantle and red robe, holding the baby Jesus in her arms. Mary appears serene and gentle, in a maternal attitude. Baby Jesus is depicted with a luminous aura around his head, a symbol of his divinity, and a lively smile. He joyfully reaches out towards Saint Cajetano, who welcomes him with great devotion. The saint, recognizable by the dark habit typical of the Theatines, is kneeling in adoration. His hands are open in the gesture of receiving the child, symbolizing his faith and total dedication to the divine will. The background is very nuanced and soft, creating an effect of ethereal luminosity that lends sacredness and solemnity to the scene. The composition is balanced, with the Virgin and child placed at the top, and Saint Cajetano at the bottom, emphasizing his attitude of humility and devotion. Immediately afterwards, there is a chapel with a lowered vault where an altar made of polychrome marble is placed in the center, with a splendid tabernacle above it and a fresco depicting Virgin of Graces in a traditional iconography of the Virgin of Milk, a popular theme in Christian sacred art. The fresco is set in a frame decorated with gold and marble. The image shows the Virgin Mary breastfeeding the baby Jesus, a symbolic gesture of spiritual nourishment and motherly love. The Virgin has a golden halo around her head, a sign of her holiness. The blue mantle, symbol of purity and royalty, is decorated with a golden star. This represents one of the oldest titles attributed to the Virgin Mary, Stella Maris, translated Star of the Sea. This appellation dates back to the first centuries of Christianity and was propagated by the fathers of the church, particularly Saint Jerome and Saint Isidore of Seville. The painting has a color palette typical of Renaissance or Baroque art, with the intense blue of the Marian mantle and the pink of the robe, symbolic colors that recall purity and maternal affection. Looking further up, on the wall above the chapel, we find a painting attributed to Maddalena di Natanti, depicting Joseph Just, interpreting dreams. Glancing further to the right, you come to a third chapel with a wooden altar in the center on which stands a splendid painting also attributed to Patricolo depicting Saint Anthony Abbot with the prophet Elijah. Saint Anthony Abbot, considered the father of Christian monasticism, receives in this scene the spiritual inheritance of the prophet Elijah, confirming the continuity between the Old and New Testaments in the quest for holiness. St. Anthony Abbot is depicted on the left wearing the typical habit of anchorite monks, namely a brown hooded cloak, similar to the Franciscan one, and a long white beard. His expression is one of wonder and reverence as he listens to the words of the prophet Elijah. His hands are joined in sign of prayer and spiritual dialogue. The prophet Elijah, on the right, appears as an elderly ascetic, with a thin body covered by a robe of skins, typical of representations of the prophet who lived in the desert. His right arm is raised with his index finger pointing towards the sky, indicating his divine inspiration and connection with God. High up on the right, a raven carries a piece of bread in its beak, a clear reference to the biblical episode reported in the first book of Kings in the Old Testament, in which the prophet Elijah, during his retreat in the desert, was miraculously fed by ravens at God's behest. This symbol was taken up in the life of St. Anthony Abbot, who, according to tradition, received food in the desert from a crow while living in solitude. The scene takes place in an arid landscape, with a palm tree in the background, evoking the Egyptian desert, where St. Anthony lived as a hermit. The desert is a symbol of the purification of the soul, mystical solitude and detachment from the material world. Dear visitor, I now invite you to continue your visit towards the high altar. You are standing in front of the high altar of the Church of the Holy Souls in Purgatory. On your right is a valuable wooden statue of St. John the Baptist, dating back to the late 16th century. This sculpture, by an unknown author, is still central to local traditions, being carried in procession every year at the end of June, on the occasion of the festivity dedicated to thee. The high altar is constructed of precious materials, combining marble and wood, which together create an extraordinary visual contrast. Marble, used for the antependium and decorative elements, adds a feeling of permanence and solemnity, while the carved and gilded wood of the upper parts brings warmth and richness to the whole. Looking up, framed between two columns with Corinthian capitals and an entablature decorated in gold, we find a majestic painting attributed to the brothers Antonio and Vincenzo Mano, Sicilian painters active between the 18th and 19th centuries. Their style, strongly influenced by Baroque and neoclassicism, is distinguished by the dramatic nature of the sacred scenes and the masterful use of light and dark. The canvas depicts an intense and dramatic scene of the Trinity and the purging souls. The composition follows a vertical structure with three superimposed levels, suggesting the relationship between the divine and the otherworldly. In the upper level, God the Father is depicted as an elder with a flowing beard, dressed in a broad cloak. His elevated position expresses his role as creator and supreme judge. The Holy Spirit is depicted in the form of a dove descending from heaven radiating light, symbolizing divine grace and the purification of souls. In the central level, the dead Christ is the central figure of the scene, wrapped in a shroud and carried by angels. His pale body emphasizes the suffering of the Passion, while his position indicates the offering of the redemptive sacrifice for the salvation of souls. In the lower level, we find the souls in purgatory, depicted with expressions of supplication and hope. The divine light descending from above seems to liberate them, emphasizing the theme of mercy and redemption. Turning our gaze to the left of the high altar, we find another beautiful painting depicting the prophet Daniel in the lion's den. In this scene, taken from the Old Testament book of Daniel, the prophet, unjustly condemned, is thrown into a pit full of lions by order of King Darius, but miraculously emerges unharmed thanks to divine intervention. The prophet Daniel is depicted at lower right, dressed in a blue tunic and a yellow cloak, symbols of wisdom and faith. His posture, with his arms outstretched and his gaze upwards, expresses an act of total trust in God. His head is surrounded by a luminous halo, indicating his holiness and divine intervention on his behalf. The lions in the pit are at the bottom of the scene, portrayed in realistic and disturbing poses, yet strangely peaceful. Their tame attitude emphasizes the miracle. God closed their mouths so that they would not harm Daniel. In the upper part, an angel in flight holds an old man with a flowing beard and a green robe. He is the prophet Habakkuk, who, according to tradition, was miraculously transported from Judea to Babylon to bring food to Daniel in the pit. Habakkuk holds a basket with food, a clear sign of divine providence. The angel has a majestic appearance and a dynamic pose, with wings spread and arm outstretched towards Daniel, symbolizing the saving intervention. Symbolic elements found in the composition place Daniel as a symbol of unwavering faith. Indeed, despite the trial, he remains faithful to God and is rewarded with salvation. The lion represents the allegory of evil forces. Tamed by divine power, it represents the victory of faith over evil. The angel and the prophet Habakkuk. They embody the providence of God, who does not abandon his faithful in their time of need. Resting our gaze on the wall to the right of the high altar, we find another majestic painting that completes the trilogy of the Manno brothers. The canvas depicts an episode from the second book of Maccabees, in which Judas Maccabeus collects gold from his soldiers to send to the temple in Jerusalem to be offered as an expiatory sacrifice for the sins of the dead. This gesture is interpreted as one of the first testimonies of the doctrine on purgatory, in perfect harmony with the destination of the work in the Church of the Holy Souls in purgatory. Judas Maccabeus is the central figure of the composition, dressed in golden armor and a light-colored cloak, symbolizing his nobility and his role as a leader. With his right hand, he points at the prisoners, or kneeling soldiers, while with his left, he holds a sword, representing his dual function as warrior and spiritual leader of the Jewish people. On the left below, two men collect gold for the offering. Their expressions are charged with emotion and humility. Behind Judas, other armed warriors watch the scene, their postures conveying discipline and devotion. The background presents a hilly landscape with trees and a military camp, alluding to the war campaigns of Judas Maccabeus against the Hellenistic rulers. A large curtain on the right recalls the tabernacle of the Old Testament, emphasizing the link with Jewish worship and the concept of sacrifice. The clear and open sky recalls the spiritual dimension of the gesture, suggesting divine benevolence. The collected gold represents the expiatory offering for the dead, an anticipation of the Christian concept of suffrage for the souls in purgatory. The sword of Judas is symbolic of his mission as defender of the faith and his role in salvation history. Beneath the fresco is a door dating from the Renaissance period that leads into a room that was probably once connected to the adjoining castle. The door is a valuable architectural element made of painted wood with a structure of geometric panels decorated with star and lozenge shapes. The contrast between ivory white and pastel blue, with gold inserts, suggests an aesthetic typical of the Sicilian Baroque style, but with possible late Renaissance influences. The eight pointed stars may allude to the Christian symbolism of the morning star, a reference to the Virgin Mary. The gilded throne is a work of great ecclesiastical value, probably intended for a high prelate during the most solemn liturgical celebrations. The gilded wooden frame is finely carved with Baroque ornamental motifs. The high back, surmounted by a crown and decorated with putti and golden rays, evokes a sense of sacredness and spiritual authority. I now invite you to continue your visit to the three chapels on the right wall of the church. In the first chapel, in the center, there is an altar with a canvas attributed to Giovanni Patricolo above it. The work depicts a significant moment in Dominican tradition. Virgin of the Rosary handing over the rosary beads to St. Dominic of Guzman, founder of the Order of Preachers. This event is linked to the tradition according to which the Virgin revealed to St. Dominic the practice of the rosary as an instrument of prayer and conversion. The scene unfolds in a mystical context, with the apparition of the Virgin and Child on a cloud dominating the upper part of the composition, while St. Dominic is in an attitude of humility and veneration in the lower part. The Virgin Mary is seated on a cloud, dressed in a blue mantle and a red tunic, symbolic colors of purity and charity. With her right hand, she presents the rosary beads to St. Dominic, a gesture that indicates the transmission of the Marian prayer. The child Jesus, standing on his mother's knees, seems to participate in the gesture, looking benevolently at St. Dominic. St. Dominic of Guzman, wearing the white habit and black cloak typical of Dominican friars, is kneeling in the act of kissing the rosary beads as a sign of devotion. Immediately following this is a chapel with a lowered vault housing a striking altar dedicated to the Passion of Christ, with a wooden statue of the crucifix as the central element. The entire structure is richly decorated with golden elements and presents a harmonious combination of theological symbols related to redemption and divine mercy. the wooden statue of Christ crucified by an unknown author, features the suffering face of Jesus, his eyes half open and head bowed, and recalls the final phase of the Passion, emphasizing his humanity and his sacrifice for the redemption of sins. The dark wooden cross stands out against a white background, surrounded by golden rays, symbolizing the light of redemption and the victory of the cross over death. Clouds sculpted with gilded cherubs' heads envelop the cross, a clear reminder of the heavenly glory and divine presence that welcomes Christ at the moment of his sacrifice. The base of the altar is covered in polychrome marble with gilded details, echoing the typical Sicilian Baroque style. A small central tabernacle with a gilded door is placed under the cross, probably intended for the storage of the Eucharist. Looking further up, on the wall above the chapel we find a painting attributed to Magdalena di Notanti, depicting Job's patience, a symbol of faith and patience in the face of suffering. In art, Job is often depicted sitting amidst ruins, enduring painful trials sent by God to test his faith. If you look to the right, you will find yourself in front of a third chapel, where an altar is positioned in the center, on which stands a splendid painting also attributed to Giovanni Patricolo, depicting St. John the Baptist. He is portrayed in his role as the forerunner of Christ. The canvas depicts a scene from his preaching ministry, emphasizing his key role in the New Testament as the one who prepares the way for the Savior. St. John the Baptist is depicted in clothing typical of traditional iconography. He wears a simple tunic made of rough fabric, often associated with his ascetic lifestyle in the desert. The saint is seated on a rock and raises his right arm in a preaching gesture, probably pointing to heaven, alluding to the coming of Christ. With his left hand, he holds the staff with the cross and the scroll with the inscription, Ecce Agnus Dei, which translated means, Behold the Lamb of God. At the saint's feet is a lamb, symbol of Christ, recalling the gospel passage in which John points to Jesus as the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Around St. John are some listeners, probably disciples or people following him, dressed in clothes typical of biblical times. The expressions on their faces suggest attention and listening. The background is characterized by a natural landscape with trees and a fading sky, creating a mystical and evocative atmosphere. I invite you to look up on the right side where the matron's house opens up, where at one time most probably the nuns of the convent took part in services. Dear visitor, this concludes our story. Jonathan Livingston, ODV. Thanks you for visiting the Church of the Holy Souls in Purgatory.